Well, good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing this beautiful Sunday morning? Who's excited to be in the house of God today? Can we give it up to our worship team? They're doing a great job. That was awesome. You guys ready for today's sermon? All right, we're going to get into this scripture. Genesis chapter 38, beginning at verse 8 through 10. Here's an interesting verse that we're going to read. Word of God says in Genesis chapter 38, beginning at verse 8. Why don't we all stand up in reverence for the word of the Lord today? The word of God says, "Then Judah said to Onan, 'Go into your brother's wife and perform your duty as the brother-in-law to her, and raise up an offspring for your brother.' But Onan knew that the offspring would not be his. So when he went into his brother's wife, he wasted his seed on the ground in order not to give offspring to his brother. But what he did was displeasing in the sight of the Lord. So he took his life also." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word that we're about to receive. And I just pray, God, that this morning we'd be blessed with your presence and your word. And help us to apply the scripture today, an interesting one, to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So in Genesis chapter 38, verse 8 through 10, we read about this man named Onan. And the Bible says that Onan was the middle child. He had an older brother that passed away, and he had a younger brother. So here's what's interesting about the Jewish culture in that time. When your older brother, the older man, would die, if he had a brother, that next brother, the middle child, he had the responsibility of marrying his brother's wife, which is crazy, but he would marry his brother's wife and get her pregnant. And the reason that they would do this is because in that culture, your family was everything. Your name is what they said. So that's why in the Bible you read that when a woman could not have a child, she was grieved, because the sole purpose of women in this biblical culture was to have children and preserve and save the name of the family. So this older brother passes away, and by law, God commanded this brother to marry his sister-in-law and get her pregnant. You guys with me so far? You're like, "That's in the Bible? We just read it." So the Bible says that Onan, the second brother, he decided to marry her. He decided to have a relationship with her. But the interesting thing is the Bible says that he did not get her pregnant. And I was reading the scripture, and the Bible says that Onan, to the sight of God, this was displeasing to God, and the Lord took his life, just like that. Now you're saying, "Well, Pastor, why is it that Onan died instantly when he did this?" See, Onan said, "I'll marry her." Onan says, "I'll sleep with her, but I'm not going to get her pregnant." Why? Because when the woman would give birth to the child could not have the father's name. He actually had to have the name of the previous man that died. And it meant that when that son got older, all the brother's possession that passed away would go to the child and not Onan. So here's how Onan saw it. "I know that the word of God says I have to marry my sister-in-law and get her pregnant and have a child, but that means that all my brother's possessions is not going to go to me. It's going to go to this other kid. This kid's not even going to have my name, and I'm going to have to be responsible for him and get nothing in return." So Onan said, "I'm not going to do this. I'm going to marry her. I'm going to have relations with her, but I am not going to get her pregnant because I don't see the benefit for me." See, Onan did not like God's law. Onan saw no benefit into doing this. In fact, Onan disagreed with God by doing what he did. And in selfishness, he resolved to sleep with her, but not have a child with her. And God saw this as an act of evil. This is the part that was confusing for me because I said, God, why did you see this as an act of evil? Because in Scripture, there's a lot of people that drop dead because of their evil. That's obvious. For example, the Bible talks about a couple named Ananias and Sapphira that told a lie about God and they died. And I said, okay, that's obvious. They lied to God. And in the Bible, it says that there was a priest named Eli that had sons, and they were taking advantage of the people and stealing from them in the church or in the temple, and they dropped dead and died. And I said, okay, I understand that because they're lying, they're stealing in the house of God and taking advantage. Even in the Old Testament, there was a man named Achan who had idols under his tent, under his mat, and he was hiding his sin, and he died. And I said, okay, I understand that guy because he's hiding sin. Idolatry was wrong. But the Bible says that Onan died because of this act of evil of marrying his sister-in-law but not having a child with her. And as I read this scripture, I thought about something. A lot of people today have the sin of Onan in them. And you're thinking, well, Pastor, I doubt that I'm just like Onan because I've never done that. But here's what Onan's mindset was set on. Onan wanted the pleasure, but not the responsibility. Am I talking to anyone already? Onan desired to feel good, so I'll marry her, I'll have relations with her, and I want it to feel good, but I don't want the commitment. I don't want it to cost me anything. So I'm going to partially obey God. I'm going to marry her, I'm going to have relations with her, but that other part about having a child with her is of no benefit to me, so I'm not going to do it. How many of you are wrestling right now with partial obedience to God? This is exactly what Onan was doing. Onan was only agreeing with God halfway, but the other half didn't benefit him. So he said, listen, I don't want the responsibility, and I don't want the commitments. And that's a lot like people today. See, when I see people today in the church or outside the church, everyone is consumed with pleasure. Everyone is just extremely obsessed with feeling good. But a lot of people want pleasure without commitment. A lot of us want to feel good at no cost. In fact, isn't that the lie that we're preaching in church today? So many people in churches are saying, just make me feel good, Pastor, and give me the pleasure of knowing God loves me and God forgives me. God has a plan for me. God wants to prosper me. But I want a relationship with Jesus at no cost to me. I don't want to be responsible for anything. I don't want to change, but I still want God to make me feel good. And that is exactly what the sin of Onan was. The sin of Onan was simply wanting the pleasure without the cost. Wanting the good feeling without the responsibility. And this is exactly the type of people Jesus confronted. Because let me be honest with you, church. A relationship with Jesus is not easy. Can we say amen to that? A relationship with Jesus is going to cost you. And you're going to have the benefit, yes, of having your sins forgiven, being in heaven when you pass away, having God by your side, all of that. That's great pleasure. That makes you feel good, doesn't it? Doesn't it make you feel good knowing God loves you right now? Yeah, it does. Doesn't it make you feel good knowing that God has a plan for your life? Yeah, it does. Tell me more. I'll tell you more. Doesn't it feel good to know no matter what you do, Jesus will never abandon you? You say, man, that feels great. But I have to tell you the truth. Following Jesus comes at a heavy cost and responsibility. I could lie to you, or I can tell you the truth. Luke chapter 14, verse 28, Jesus confronted all these people. And he said this, which of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the what? The cost. To see if he has enough to complete it. See, no one in their right mind says, I'm going to build up a house. How much do you have? I don't know. Don't care. I'm going to do it. How much is in your bank account? Haven't checked. Have you consulted anyone to see if you can financially pay for this house? Nope, but I want it. How many say bad idea? Say bad idea. Now, why did Jesus say this verse? Why did Jesus tell these people, if you're going to build a tower, consider the cost? If you're going to build a house, doesn't a person first sit down and consider what it's going to take to do what they want? See, Jesus was saying this reference as to make a point. Following me will cost you. Why did Jesus say this? Because Jesus was surrounded by thousands of people who were only there because they knew he worked miracles. Imagine that you're sick, your child is sick, you have a financial crisis, and you hear that this man is solving all these people's problems. You would rush to go meet this man. That's what Jesus was encountering. Jesus was encountering people who were only there to get something from him. And people were there because they wanted to be healed. They wanted Jesus to meet their needs. They said, Jesus, could you feed me? Can you heal me? Could you provide for my needs? Can you fix this? Can you fix that? If you can do this, I'll follow you. So Jesus looked at all these masses of people and said, they're here for me, but they're not here for me. They're here out of their selfish motives. Answer this. Today, could we be doing this? Could you be in church this morning because you want to get something out of God? Are you here today because someone in your life is sick? Are you here today because you've lost your job? Are you here today because you feel guilty and you want to feel good? Are you here today because you're expecting to get something from God, or are you here today to give something to God? That's the question. See, Jesus had this problem with people. They were there in the present, following him, only to get something from him. And when Jesus said, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Did you notice that in the scriptures, no one did? Because Jesus told the truth. He told the people, I'm not just here to meet your needs. I'm not just here to fix your problems. I'm not just here to give you pleasure. I'm not just here to make you feel good. I'm here because I'm looking for someone to deny themselves and follow me. But the people went home. And he was still stuck with the 12. What was that saying? That even Jesus, like today, encountered people like Onan that wanted the pleasure without the cost. They wanted the feeling of good without the responsibility. Because today, we fall in love with the idea of pleasure. We're addicted to the feeling of good. Some of the greatest mistakes of your life came because at first it felt good. Can I get a witness? And at first it was pleasure. Until it took over your life and cost you your family. It cost you your job. It cost you relationships that were dear to you. Some of you have hit rock bottom because in the very beginning of the top of that rock, something at first felt good to you. And you didn't sit down and consider the cost. Hey, does the person that commits an adulterous affair sit down and first consider the cost? Does he? What is he thinking or she thinking? Pleasure. They don't sit down and think about their kids. They don't sit down and think about their spouse or the people they're going to hurt. They're just thinking about the pleasure. What about the people that commit tax fraud? In the very beginning, they think about the pleasure of having more money so they can buy more houses, more cars, and do this and do that. What are they thinking of? Pleasure. It's going to feel good to just trick the man, the government, and go behind their back. And then you see these rich billionaires locked up because they did not sit down and consider the cost. Let me prove this by asking you, how many of your biggest regrets could have been avoided had you first sit down and considered what it would cost you? You say, Pastor, I wouldn't be married to them. I would not have done it. But see, we are a group of people like Onan. We're just thinking about pleasure, feeling good. And the last thing on our mind is the cost. See, I see this all the time. There's people that they love the idea. They love the pleasure of not being in debt. Can I get an amen? You're like, no, I'm in debt. We love the idea and the pleasure of not having to owe anything to anyone. But you know that being debt free comes at a cost. It means that you're going to have to pay more than your monthly minimum. It means that you're going to have to deny some purchases you can't afford, but it looks really good on your feet or hanging over your shoulder. It means that you're going to have to cut up some plastic and be patient and save. We love the idea and the pleasure of being debt free, but I don't want the responsibility it's going to take for me to be debt free. We love the pleasure of being healthy. We love the pleasure of making our girlfriends jealous of our bodies. We love the pleasure of looking good in the beach. We love the pleasure of good cholesterol. We love the pleasure. But it comes at a cost. You can't have the cookie. You gotta denounce the carbohydrates. In the name of Jesus, I denounce you, carbs. Being healthy comes at a cost. Listen, you have to understand that you might be desiring the pleasure of something you're not willing to pay. I see people today that love the pleasure of being married. The idea of waking up next to someone, holding your hand, walking in the park, cooking for him, all of that gives you pleasure, but you're not willing to consider the cost. You ain't single no more, and it's not about you anymore. You're going to have to make decisions that benefit your partner. Can I tell you that hurts? It means that your days with the boys are going to be limited. We love the pleasure of having children? Really? I recently learned that children are expensive. I learned what it takes to pay for a kid, and by the time he gets to college, it's over $100,000. And I said to myself, that's a really nice boat. That's an awesome house. That's a great car. I don't think I want a child now. Maybe, I don't know. But that's why the Bible says, it's pretty awesome to be single. Enjoy it. If you want to get married because you're on fire for passion, by all means. But consider the cost. Because we have such a high divorce rate. Because we want the pleasure of marriage without the responsibility of being a spouse. My favorite one is the pleasure of ministry. I never thought about it till recently. But I look back in my early years. I sound old now, but I'm getting there. My early years as a pastor, when I first became a pastor, I was young. And older pastors came up to me and said, David, you better know that you know that you know you're called. Because it's going to cost you. And in my mind, it was just a pleasure. of being on stage. The pleasure of having people like you. They don't like you. The pleasure of people looking up to you. The pleasure of saying, I'm a pastor. Years later, I look back at the cost of not just my life, but the life of my family. The tears we've cried, the people that have left us, the rejection, the hurt. And I look back now and I said, now I realize the cost. So when a young brat comes up to me and says, I want to be a pastor, I sit down with them. And I say, no, you don't. You like the idea of it. Jesus was upfront and real with people. Because we like Jesus, we're living in a culture of pleasure without sacrifice. Think about these millennials now and the generation coming up before them. They want everything handed to them, don't they? They don't want to work for it. They don't want sacrifice. They don't want to give up anything. We just want it. Why? Because we want the pleasure at no cost. We want the pleasure and we want the good feeling without responsibility. Could it be that there's a spirit of owning in the church or inside you right now, that you're only after the pleasures of God, but you don't want it to cost you anything? Onan had no problem meeting God halfway as long as it benefited him and it felt good. That's why today we have so many absent parents. Because at one point you only wanted the pleasure without the responsibility of raising a child. Today we've become a culture obsessed with the feeling of good at no cost. And God was angry. Onan's, and I said, God, why were you so angry at Onan? Because Onan's actions demonstrated to God a selfishness that said, if it doesn't benefit me, I'm not doing it. I don't care if it's your law. I don't care if it's a command from God. I don't care if it blesses others, because this was a blessing to the woman, by the way. And Onan was telling God, I want the pleasure, but not the responsibility. I don't care if it's what you told me to do. I don't care if it's going to bless someone else. If it doesn't benefit me, with no fear and no remorse, I'm not obeying you. I'm not doing it. Let's be honest. Have you read some of these commandments? Have you even opened up this book? There are some things that give me pleasure about the Bible. When I read things like, I have a plan for you, I'm like, ooh, that feels good. When I read things like, as far as the East is from the West, I'll never abandon you, I'm like, ooh, tell me more, that feels great. I'll meet your needs according to my riches. Ooh, I love that feeling. But then there's that other portion of the Bible. You know the other portion that says, what was it? Love your enemies. And pray for those who persecute you. And tithe. And respect and love and honor your spouse. You're like, bleh. I mean, have you read in Galatians the fruit of the Spirit? Have you read that the Bible says that the Spirit inside you demonstrates itself by love and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control? Whoever wrote that scripture clearly doesn't live in Miami. How can you love? How can you have peace? How can I have self-control? That's hard. It's going to cost you. See, maybe you have an owning attitude. You obey God when it's beneficial to your life. But what about those areas in your life that cost you? What about those areas in your life you know you're only meeting God halfway because the other half doesn't benefit you? It benefits someone else. It benefits someone else when you serve and you're kind and you give and you have self-control. But God, what about me? But sometimes in life, it doesn't become about you. That's the problem with the church today. We come in with this expectation that we're going to feel good. But are you willing to pay the cost? The responsibility it takes to follow Jesus. What about those scriptures in the Bible you read and you say, that's impossible. I could never. Why can't you? Because it's going to cost me. But what did the obedience of Jesus Christ cost him? For you. His life on the cross. And it's great when we acknowledge that Jesus paid the cost for our sins. Yes, that makes us feel good. But now Jesus wants us to pay the cost for Him in obedience. But we don't like that. Let me teach you what Onan taught me. Onan clearly shows us partial obedience. Because he married her. He slept with her, but made sure not to get her pregnant. So you're just like Onan. I'll do this because it feels good. I'll do this because it's not that bad. And I'll do this because it gives me great pleasure, but those areas of lives that's going to cost me, and I'm going to have to pay a cost and have responsibility, I'm not going to do it. And Onan died. Number one, Onan teaches me that our desire for pleasure more than commitment to God will cost you dearly. Your lack of obedience with lack of responsibility to the commands of God's word will cost you. It'll cost you your joy. It'll cost you your peace. It'll cost you your family. It'll cost you your relationship because you're not considering the cost. I asked you earlier to look back in your life and the worst decisions that you wish you can take back. And I guarantee you did not stop and think, what's it going to cost me? The last thing on Onan's mind was that his selfish decision for what pleased him would cost him his life. That's why there's so many people I sit with that never thought their decision would cost them what it cost them. I sit down with people all week that said, it cost me my marriage. It cost me my family. It cost me my children. It cost me my health. It cost me my job. It cost me to do what I thought pleased me. But I have good news for you. This woman that Onan was getting pleasure from without being responsible for, was named Tamar. And if you read the New Testament in the lineage of Jesus Christ, you see Tamar there. You know what this shows me? Maybe you're here today and you've made some bad mistakes. Because you know Tamar eventually got pregnant. But she lied and tricked and deceived her father-in-law, Judah, to do it. Long story, don't even ask me now. But through that ordeal, that craziness, came the line, Jesus. It gives me hope because it tells me that God knows the mistakes I've made. God knows the mistakes you've made. God knows the decisions you've made that you never stopped to consider the cost. God knows every failure, every regret, every bad decisions. But God says, even now, no matter who you are, what you've done, I can still create in you my purpose and my destiny. Can we just give him praise for that for a moment? Because God says in his word, I'll bless you. I'll still use you. Some of you have convinced yourself that your past has stopped God from your destiny. You don't know God, who knew what you would do before you even did it and already had a way out for you. God already had a way out before you even got in it. How do you feel about that? So let Tamar be an example to us in the church today. That you may have hurt people, you may have told some lies, you may have been selfish, you might have used people, you might have just manipulated your way through life, and it has cost you. But right now, if you would seek Jesus Christ with all your heart and ask for the forgiveness of your sins, he not only forgives you, but will still use you in a mighty way. But it's your choice. The second thing I learned from Onan is the reason that God killed him. Genesis 49, verse 10. Jesus told Abraham, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. The tribe of Judah. This is a prophecy saying that from the people of Judah would come Jesus. Now stay with me here. Because when Judah had Onan, his son, can I tell you that how many of you would tell your children if God told you this, hey, you know, out of our family line, the Messiah is going to come. How many would be a little bit braggy about that? I would. I would tell my son or my daughter, hey, you know, out of me is going to come the next president of the United States if God told you he would. Oh, out of me, someone famous and powerful is going to come out of our family. See, I believe that Judah told his sons that our great-great-great-grandfather Abraham was promised by God that through our family lineage would come Jesus, the Messiah. So when Onan did what he did, by not committing all the way to getting his sister-in-law pregnant, I believe it was telling God, I care more about me than Jesus. His actions demonstrated to God, I have no value for Jesus. It's all about me. Can I apply this right now to your personal life? Say, Pastor, give me permission. Say, go ahead. All right. Thank you. We don't think this, but everything you do, everything you say, the way you act towards people, you're not doing it to people. You're doing it to Jesus. And if you knew you were doing it to Jesus, you probably wouldn't do half the things you're doing to people. Wouldn't you? You see how quiet it is? Because you know the Holy Spirit's like pokey pokey talking to you. Let me prove this to you. Acts chapter 9 verse 4. Paul, who was Saul, evil Saul, killing Christians. Jesus revealed himself to Paul and said he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? But I said, wait a minute, he wasn't persecuting Jesus. He was persecuting the Christians. But the way Paul was treating the Christians is how he was treating Jesus. Conviction, isn't it?
No.
Matthew 25, verse 40. Truly I say to you, Jesus said, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did to who? To me. Verse 45. He will answer them, truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did not do for one of these least of ones, you did not do for me. So this is two ways. I'm going to make you feel good, and then I'm going to make you feel bad. You guys ready? All right, you want the feel good first or the feel bad first? Huh? Feel good. Okay, the kid said good. I'm going to make you feel good, kid. So here's the good thing. Don't ever worry about how someone's treating you. Don't ever worry about what someone said about you or to you. Whoever rejected you, whoever lied about you, whoever hurt you, whoever betrayed you, whoever just did what they did to you, the good news is they did not do it to you. They did it to Jesus, who you serve. And Jesus says, what you've done to me, I'll pay back. That's why talk about me. Talk about me. Lie about me. Reject me. I mean, hurt me. Go ahead. Why? Because you ain't hurting me. You're hurting my Savior. And He's going to get you back. I walk in peace knowing when someone flips me off in traffic, ooh, you just flipped off Jesus. Let it go. Whoever's holding a grudge, they did this to me. No, they didn't. If you're a child of God, who they really do it to? Jesus. Can I make you feel bad now? That means when you're the one flipping the finger off in traffic, me? Yes. When you're the one rejecting someone, when you're the one lying and slandering, when you're the one selfishly hurting someone, stop and consider what you're doing to someone or not doing for someone. You're doing to Jesus or not doing for Jesus. Shouldn't that change your behavior? Shouldn't it? What if you saw every person like if it was Jesus? Would you treat them the way you're saying? The person that's serving you in the restaurant, Jesus. The person in the red pickup truck cutting you off is Jesus. That family member you can't stand is Jesus. That co-worker that you can't wait to get fired is Jesus. That boss you can't stand is Jesus. That church member you wish would leave, Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and look at him. Say, hi, Jesus. I'm Jesus. Nice to meet you. Go ahead and say, hey, nice to meet you, Jesus. Ooh, what a coincidence. I'm Jesus too. Because Jesus said, whatever you've done or not done for the least of these people, you've done to me. So let me close with this last verse. Colossians 3:23. The Bible says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Say it with me. To the Lord. Well, why should I forgive them? Because you're forgiving them to the Lord. Well, why should I serve them? Because you're serving to the Lord. Well, why should I be kind to her? Because you're being kind to the Lord. See, God says to this church in Colossians, if you would just do what you do as you're doing it to me, it might change you. Onan had no idea that his choice was not about him. When he decided to go halfway with God and partially obey and have the pleasure without the responsibility, he had no idea that what he was doing, he was actually doing it to Jesus. And it cost him. I want to ask you today, is the sin of Onan prevalent in your life? Are you living as though what you're doing is not affecting Jesus at all? What you're saying out of your mouth is not even being said to Jesus. What you're watching, what you're listening to, how you're treating people has nothing to do with Jesus. It has everything to do with Jesus. So your choice is, am I going to fully commit to the Lord? Am I fully going to commit to Jesus? Or am I just going to go halfway and seek pleasure and a good feeling? I don't want it to cost me anything. I don't want to have responsibility. But you have to be responsible to walk with Jesus. Because you have to be responsible for what you say, what you do, how you treat people. And that's going to cost you. But if you have the sin of owning living inside you, you don't want to pay that cost. But you want the benefit of having the pleasure of Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed today, can we all stand to our feet? I'm going to meet you halfway. You're here today, you're saying, God, I have the sin of owning living inside me. I'm only seeking pleasure and I'm not considering the cost. If you're here today, you've made some bad decisions because you have not considered the cost, but was only focused on the benefit it would have for you and the pleasure. Redemption is here for you today. God can still finish the work He started in you in spite of who you are or what you've done. But you have to make a decision to fully commit to Jesus Christ. Yes, it's great to have the pleasure of knowing your sins are forgiven. The pleasure of knowing you're going to heaven. The pleasure to know that God's going to supply all your needs. That's great pleasure that makes us feel good. But also consider the cost of what it's going to take to follow Jesus. And if you're willing to do it all the way or don't do it at all. But stop this halfway owning commitment. Give me pleasure at no cost. Then you want pleasure without Jesus. What's it going to be? If you're here today, and you're tired of seeking selfishness and pleasure, and you want to fully commit to Jesus Christ, you come forward right now. If you're here today, I want to pray for you. If you're saying, Pastor, the sin of owning is inside me. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray for you. And if you're ready, you come up here. I want to pray for you today. You're here today and you're saying, I want Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I want to fully commit. God bless you. It's not about you. That's what got you in trouble. You made it about you. That's what cost you your life. You made it about you. That's what cost you your family. You made it about you. That's why you did what you did. You did it about you. But if we stop to think everything I do, I'm doing to Jesus, it will change the way you live and act, and God would actually give you the pleasure you're seeking. The choice is yours. Don't hesitate. Come on now. Would you encourage these people up here as they come forward? Come on. Don't stop. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. But think about what it cost Jesus to save you from hell. Think about what it cost Him to forgive you of your sins. And you're not willing to pay Him back with your life? Shame on us, church. For wanting the pleasure of Jesus without the commitment. One more chance. I'll give you a chance to come forward. If you're here today, and maybe like Tamar, you made a bad choice in life. Right now, your choice was known by God, and it never affected your destiny. God can still deliver on His promises in spite of who you are and what you did and why you did what you did. Let me pray for you. If you're ready to commit your life to Jesus Christ, just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins as I give you my life. I know the cost you paid for me. On that cross, and I return that favor with the only thing I can give you, my life. Save me. Forgive me as I surrender. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give God a shout of praise today. Amen. Amen. Come on, you guys can do better than that. Give God some praise who paid a heavy cost for you. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. If you're here today, I want to encourage you that as you leave this church service today, it might cost you. You're going to go to work tomorrow with people you don't like. You're going to have an encounter with someone. I want you to think about now, everything I do, I'm doing to Jesus. Everything I say, I'm saying to Jesus. Everything I think, I'm thinking about Jesus. And if you would have that perspective about your life, it would alter the course of your destiny. Father, I thank you for this service. I thank you for this message. And I thank you for those here today who gave their lives to Jesus. Lord, as we leave this church service, as we continue to just serve you and follow you, let us know, Father, that everything we're doing fully for you, Father. Forgive us for the spirit of owning that we've had. That sin that says, I want the pleasure without the responsibility. I want to feel good at no cost. And Father, give us a willingness to pay whatever it's going to take for you to accomplish what you want to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.